and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your host, me, Raylene, and...
Me! It's Ariel.
Woohoo! What is up? Woo! So, as you will obviously notice, I'm hosting this episode, which you know what that means, folks. Next week, we're having a special guest episode. Ooh. Noelle Gallagher will be on the podcast, which we've been kind of teasing over on our Patreon a little bit. When we do live shows, we're like, yeah, I swear we'll have her on soon. But then it just hasn't been working out yet. So it's going to happen. We're going to record with her shortly. And I'm really excited for that. So you guys have that to look forward to next week. But also, before we dive into this episode, I had a little, not really an announcement per se, but I think it was either last week or the week before, we had talked about the fact that I've bought many, many books this year. And
I promised I would look into it.
And get you guys a number. So what I did is I went back through our website book list. I started in January. I counted every single book that I knew purchased. Then I looked at my shelves as well to see which ones I hadn't mentioned on the podcast. Corroborate. And which ones that I had already read that wouldn't have been, you know, like I just did everything I could. And I think I've come to a very number.
I'm so glad that you did this. I am so excited.
I didn't want to like forget about it and like let it go because I feel like this is very important. So what would be your guess? What would be your guess of how many books I purchased between January 1st and now August 15th at the time of recording this?
Well, okay, just a little bit of backstory to how I'm thinking about this. When we started doing this podcast 2 years ago, we were, you know, we were brainstorming how do we want to structure it? What segments do we want to have in there? And we were like, let's do a book haul segment. So every episode we would do a book haul. But then we talked about how we were feeling really pressured to buy books and we were like, it kind of felt forced. Like if we have a book, we want to talk about it. But if we don't, it's kind of awkward. So let's cut that segment out. So then for a while, we just completely cut that segment out. And every few months, we would have a couple of books to haul or whatever.
Yeah.
Then I feel like it was the end of last year, beginning of this year, where we just started buying books again. And every single week, we ask each other, do you have any books to haul before we record? And every single time, Raylene says yes.
I don't know how it has happened. Like, I really didn't intend for it to go this way, but here we are.
So, that being said, if we're a little bit over halfway through the year, there's 52 weeks in a year, 25 is halfway, we're more than 25, so let's say we're on, like, our 30th episode of the year, plus some of those are book club episodes and stuff. I don't think you often go you never only just haul one book. I feel like you least haul two or three books.
That's my curse. I can never buy just one at a time.
So I'm going to go from 30 to 60. And then there are some times where you just go ham and you have purchased a lot. So I'm going to guess... 90. I'm gonna guess 90 books.
Okay. that is a very good guess. So here's the true number, and these are just ones that I've purchased for myself. I'll go into this saying that you sent me two books so far this year.
Yeah, that wouldn't
count. So these are above and beyond. So as far as ones that I have purchased for myself, 92 plus four Great Gatsby's.
Oh,
that was something I had to take into account as well. I was like, how many Gatsby's have I purchased?
I guess so close. My math very close. Was so good.
So my number is 96. I think that is fairly accurate. It's possible I missed a couple of books. So
sure, but that's a ballpark.
But either way, like 96.
Yeah.
Roughly 100. Like you said, you were like, it has to be at least 100.
Oh,
and I was like, no, that's impossible. And then as I was going through the episodes, I was like, oh, shit, there's like six in this episode alone. Oh, no.
Oh, my God. That is so much fun.
I have my little tally in my Sudoku book.
Oh, I see it. That's so cute.
It was what I had close to me at the time. And I was like, you know what? Now's the time. I'm going to do this.
Well, now I feel like I need to do that as well because...
It's really fun.
It
was a nice
fun.
Little challenge.
It's fun.
We like statistics. These are the things that we nerd out about. We love knowing numbers about books.
Oh, man. All right. So next week is going to be Noelle's episode. The next update episode after that, I will come and I will tell you guys how many books I have purchased in the last year.
And the funny thing is, it hasn't even been a whole year. It's been just over half of a year, which is the most embarrassing thing about this number. It's like, what? I've read like 60 books, I think, this year. So I've bought way more than I've even read.
Well, it's not a terrible ratio, though.
Yeah.
You know, like you've bought one third more, 30% more than what you're reading. But at least it's not like I've read like 8 books this year.
Can't wait to hear how many you've bought. Your ratio should be fun.
Should we start in the spirit of that? Should we start with our book hauls today?
I mean, why the hell not? Yeah. Why don't you start us off? I have a couple of books that I actually didn't purchase. My friend just gave them to me, but I thought they were worth mentioning, so I'll do that after. But I'm really excited to see what you've got.
I think that this is a particularly interesting haul, actually.
Okay.
I have 5-ish things to talk about. You'll see what I mean in a minute. Okay. So first I'll start with the most recent ones I got. These are not the most exciting ones. I'm building up the anticipation and the tension, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
So yesterday, my family and I went to 3 yard sales.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
I know. It was great. And one was like held in a church in the town. And, of course, they had a couple of tables of books, and of course, most of them were cookbooks and, like, romance and stuff. Yeah. But there were 2 that I was, you know what, I was excited by, and I picked them up, and I had no idea how much they were going to be. I kind of didn't care. You know, I was like, well, it can't be more than a few bucks. And they were 50 cents each, and I was like, wow. That when I went to pay, I was like, bargain. So the first one is A Walk in the Woods by Bill Bryson.
Another book olds recommendation.
Yes, it is another book olds, but also it's in really good condition. Like, it does not look like it was read. It kind of just, it looks a little yellowed, but just like it sat on a bookshelf for a long time, never touched kind of style. But the reason I decided to get this one is because we really enjoyed Wild. We just, Raylene and I just read Wild, which we've talked about loads in recent episodes, and I'm just like, you sort of talked about this in one of our last episodes, really, where you're like, that kind of awoke a thing for memoirs for you.
Yeah, you know? Like, I want more memoirs.
Yeah, so I was like, this is, I would honestly say Wild and A Walk in the Woods are like the 2 most popular nature memoirs of the recent decades. So I was like, I'll give this a shot. And like the back of the book says, God only knows what possessed Bill Bryson, a reluctant adventurer, if ever there was one, to hike the grueling 2,000-mile Appalachian Trail. So it's actually more similar than I thought. I mean, I have no idea what happens on the trail. There's no movie version of this one, is there? So
I think there is, actually.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Have to watch that.
Going to start a whole thing. Maybe I need to get that book now, too. We can buddy read it. Wow.
This turns into a nature memoir podcast.
Of course.
This next book that I bought is one I've already read, but it was kind of... why did I buy this? I bought it because now that I have a house where I can just buy books and put them somewhere, I've become a little uninhibited in my purchasing of things, because I'm sort of like, well, yeah, I like it, so I can have it. And so even though I don't need a new copy of Northanger Abbey, I bought it because it's a cool edition. It's like this weird version from 1965. So I'll definitely post a photo of this on the Instagram because it looks really bizarre. I don't know. It just, something about it felt so unique and cute to me. I don't know. I grabbed that one. That note on the Instagram, we keep forgetting to say here on the podcast, we just wanted to give a big high five to anyone who's following us on the Instagram, because we recently passed 20,000 followers on Instagram.
That's crazy.
We are highly successful podcasters, Raylene.
It's amazing. We only post pictures of books on there, too. It's not like we post anything super exciting. It's literally just the books we talk about. Yeah, I love that.
That is, I think that's really cool.
So it feels really special.
The other thing I got, so this is why I was like, well, there's sort of 5 things I want to talk about, is because I bought a tin. Hold on, guys. I'm going to do an ASMR. Ready?
Ooh, that's nice. That's definitely a tin. You're not lying.
Maybe ASMR sounds of me opening the tin. Hold on. Ready? Oh yeah, that was worth it, I thought. Okay, so we went to this, like I said, it was like this little yard sale thing, but it was sort of more of like a forever yard sale. Do you know what I mean by that? Like a person who has a shed that is full of antiques and stuff that they're like always selling. Like it's like their lifestyle. Like they're retired and they just gather things and put them. So anyway, we went there and my brother spotted this out of the corner of his eye. It's a tin of Anne of Green Gables.
No way. That's amazing.
It's so freaking cute. I think it's, honestly, it's not old or anything. Like, I think it probably was made in the last 20, 30 years. But it's probably just, honestly, from the Green Gables Museum gift shop or something. Yeah. But it's so cute, and it was, like, a few bucks, and I was happy to add that to my bookshelf as a cute little Anne of Green Gables
thing. Perfect.
So I love that. But now on to the two books that I'm the most excited to talk about. Okay, Raylene?
Okay.
Oh, boy. Right. These were both gifted to me by my boyfriend's parents. So big shout out to those guys because, oh, boy, did they spoil me. So his mom gave me this 3-pack. It's a box of 3 books. And they're all Lucy Maud Montgomery short story collections.
Oh, cool.
And they have these incredible old covers. And I'm so excited because I've been telling her all about how much I love Anne of Green Gables and how much I'm like adoring Anne. And she's a massive Anne fan. Anne fan! And so she has a bunch of the books and stuff. And she was like, yeah, you should take these. And they're like in perfect condition, never been read. And this one's called Against the Odds, 18 Discovered Stories. They're all tales of achievement. So like people achieving things. The next one. Among the Shadows. I don't know what that one's about. But then this one's to me the funniest. Lucy Maud Montgomery's Akin to Anne, Tales of Other Orphans.
They're just like Anne, but different.
I can just imagine someone in the like 80s being like, how the hell do we sell these short stories? Say that they're similar to Anne.
That's hilarious. Well, so those are super cool.
I know. I love these. And I think that the covers are so cool. So I'm very excited to read those eventually, dip into them. But finally, Jesus Christ, Raylene, I'm about to tell you about this gift. This absolutely outstanding. I don't know how to tell you what Connor's dad gave me. Wowie. Oh, man. It is. Holy shit. It's a first edition Animal Farm.
I thought you were going to say that. What?
Oh, my God. Okay. It's in perfect condition. I, of course, again, will post a photo to the Instagram so people can see. It does not have its original dust jacket, but what from That's back then does. Yeah. Although, Connor's grandmother or great-grandmother, I forget, she bought this book, you know, when it came out.
Oh,
she
wow.
She's just a reader, and she was just like, oh, yeah, that sounds good, and bought it. So it's no, like, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like this was, like, a rare book purchase. It was just in this family. It was just in Connor's family, and Connor's dad was just like, oh, yeah, you know, I have a cool thing to show you. And I was like, what is it? And he's like, I stumbled upon this. It turns out I have a first edition Animal Farm. And I was like, pardon? And I remember when he showed it to me, I felt so shy. I was like, I had a lot of conflicting feelings, really. And part one was, would it be okay to steal this? And my second quick thought was, I don't want to ruin it. I was like, I'm too scared to flip through it or break it or anything. But yeah, so the person who bought it originally owned it had she knew that the dust jacket was falling off or falling apart. Yeah. So she cut the flaps off and glued them to the back of the book, which is kind of cool actually. So now I have the original dust jacket flaps. But yeah, wowee, 1946, first edition. I can't believe it. This is something that I've literally looked at buying online myself. Yeah. And I'm always like, I can't justify spending that much money on a book. And it was given to me. So
that is so incredible. Maybe if I'm a good person, someone will give me a Great Gatsby first edition. What do I have to do?
You just have to be nice, I guess.
I just have to be really nice.
I was also saying to Connor's dad, I was like, it would be... I've always wanted to have, like, those little book stands. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're little metal stands that hold books open.
Oh, yes.
And that, like, gift shops have them and stuff. Or, I mean, bookshops. Yeah. Oh, Eddie just walked in. Hello, Eddie.
Hello, Eddie.
He just barged right in.
He just invited himself in.
Okay, and now another dog came in. All right. Pause, ladies and gentlemen. Gotta get these hounds out of here. I typically do let them hang out with me while I work, but they do move around a lot and bash into stuff, so it's not really conducive to a podcast setting.
No.
But yeah, as I was saying, I think it would be really cool to get, like, a little metal book stand that I could just, like, prop this up on, so it's, like, a forward-facing book or something, instead of just... It feels absurd to just have it stacked amongst the rest.
It's true.
So yeah, really.
That is super, super cool.
It was really hard for me not to text you about that.
Yeah, that's a big secret to keep from me. Wow, that was amazing. I was not expecting that. But then when you started getting so excited, I was like, oh my God, is this what I think it is? Is this going to be so good? Wow, that's very exciting. Well, my book haul pales in comparison because it's just a couple of books my friend gave me. But that's okay. So my friend gave me these two books, which I think are part of a four-book series, if I remember correctly. But
hopefully
I could be
it's
wrong.
Book one and two.
I sure hope so. So it's Snow Country and Thousand Cranes by Yasunari Kawabata. Have you heard of these?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, they are Japanese books. Apparently, this author won the Nobel Prize for Literature. I don't know which book. Hang on.
Wow, way to go.
It does not say. It does not say. But yeah, so I know Snow Country is the beginning. Maybe they're not even related. I could be thinking of a completely different thing. But anyways, yeah, my friend bought these little weird little mass market versions of these books.
Yeah.
And then she realized she already owned them in trade paperback.
Oh.
And she was like, oh, but the mass markets are so weird and cool. Do you want these?
Yeah, they are cool.
Sure. So I don't know what they're about. I know they're like classic Japanese literature. And that's kind of all I know. But they're on my shelf now, and they're kind of cool looking, so I will post a picture of those on the Instagram as well. But that is all for my haul. I don't have anything super...
Oh, that was real
super
snappy.
Astounding. Yeah,
there
snappy.
You go.
That's all I got. But I wanted to give them a little shout.
Can I tell another story about the yard sale?
I mean, why not?
We're
here.
Lord knows I didn't finish another book, so I need to stall. We were at this one yard sale and there was this little pug. And okay, so Nova Scotia and, you know, the rest of the world is having a real heat wave situation.
Oh, God.
And so it's hot. It's hot and it's sticky. It's humid and it's hot and I hate it. But anyways, we're going around to these yard sales and this little pug. Well, I say little. To be fair, quite chubby. Very chubby. Old pug just motors out of her house and comes right up to me and my family, like expecting pets. Like, everyone that comes to this yard sale is a potential pet giver. So I start petting, and she was so funny because she was it's not funny, actually. It's sad because I love pugs. Every pug I've ever met has been the best dog ever. But I also don't think that we should continue breeding pugs because they have all of these horrible, horribly sad, difficult breathing conditions. So in a way, it's not funny. Jesse, the puppy, his name was Jesse, had this like horrible breathing thing. But it made her sound like a little motorboat.
Aww.
And like, I miss that dog. And I only met it for like, I don't know, 4 minutes. And I just keep thinking about Jessie and I call her Motor Dog. So anyway,
that's actually kind of a funny story that could lead into a story I have about a pug.
What?
I'll keep it snappy. I'll keep it short. I know this is funny. One time my mom and my brother and I were camping and the people at the campsite next to us had a pug puppy, like a tiny little brand new puppy.
Yeah.
And they wanted to take their boat out on the water, but they didn't have a life jacket for their puppy. So they were like, can you look after our puppy while we go out on our boat? So it's kind of funny that motorboat pug thing. Yeah, like so we watched after this pug that didn't have a name, so we just called it puppy all day long, and it was so much fun. And we have a dog, and like the dog was with us, but we were like, no, we don't care about you right now, bud. We just care about this pug puppy.
Step aside.
He was very
dog.
Jealous. It was funny.
Oh my God.
So that's my pug story. So I guess you kind of drop the ball there that you did not finish any books or drop the bomb. I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but I did finish a couple of books, so I am going to tell you about them.
Classic Raylene, such a show off. You know what?
I finished a book.
Me? I finished a few things.
It's just who I am. I can't help it. last time we did an update episode, I think I mentioned that I was reading Station 11. Did I?
Yes, you did. And I was
so
very excited.
I did finish it. I listened to the audiobook for it and was working on a cross stitch, which was fun. And it was really good. I would still continue to give it 4 stars, though. It didn't, like, exceed my previous expectations. It wasn't a letdown at all. It was just exactly how I remember it being, like, a really good book, enjoyable story. And I just love how intertwined all of these characters' stories are, like, through different time periods and people who've, like, never necessarily met each other, but they're all connected somehow. And I just love it. I just love it. It was beautiful. So yeah, I really enjoyed rereading that. That was fun. It definitely has encouraged me to try and reread some more books, which, as we've mentioned, I've been wanting to do. I just don't know what it will be next, because I have so many other books that I want to read first.
Totally.
But I also started and finished The Anthropocene Reviewed by John Green. Baby.
Oh, I'm kind of angry, but I'm also proud.
I know. I mean, it's been a month since I bought it as of today.
Exactly.
So if I didn't read it, I would have been punished. And I was like, you know what? I may as well just read it. I know this is going to be a great book.
Yeah.
And I would say it is pretty great. It wasn't 5-star great for me, though.
Okay.
It wasn't like it wasn't blow your mind amazing, which is a little bit of a letdown because I was expecting it to be that. But it was fun. I found that the essays almost seemed a little bit too random sometimes, and I kind of wish that John Green had just written a memoir, because in pretty much every single essay, it starts with, like, a random topic, but John Green, like, inserts himself into the topic and is like, this is why I care about this topic, and, like, here's a backstory, here's something that happened to me or something I did.
Totally.
And I really loved those bits the most, although there was lots of interesting information about random things and random events that have happened that I would have never known about. Like, there's a whole chapter about like a soccer game and like this guy, and like it's kind of just explains like what happened with this soccer player, and John Green loves soccer, he's a big fan, which it was just like fun getting to know John a little bit more, because I don't listen to his podcast, I don't really watch Vlogbrother videos, and like I'm kind of disconnected from John now as an adult, but it was fun to learn about him a little bit more and get to know him.
Well, that's cool. Did you do the audiobook or did you read
it? No, I actually read the book.
Cool.
Which I think was good, because there are footnotes, which, I mean, doesn't necessarily have to be a downside for an audiobook, but could have been confusing for my little brain. But I'm sure it would be great to listen to the audiobook, because I'm sure John reads it. But yeah, it was really nice to read the book. It was fairly easy read. There were a couple of essays that were like, oh my god, like really, really hit hard. And like, you know, he does that. He made me feel things. So that was nice. Yeah, it was really enjoyable. And I think you should read it soon.
Yeah.
There are a bunch of sports chapters. I really think you would
enjoy. I do like sports, apparently. Do you know that song Sister Christian, which I didn't know it was called that, but it just goes motorin. Do you know that
song?
Oh
yeah. Okay. I was like, that sounds like something I should know. Yeah.
That song, I keep singing it in my head. I have for the last 24 hours since I met the pug, cuz I just say motor dog.
I love that. That's beautiful.
So it's just been stuck in my head as you reviewed John Green's touching memoir, and just keep shouting motor dog in my head.
This is the pug episode. The title has to have something about pugs, otherwise I will riot.
I kind of feel like it has to be, well, there's a lot of different things it could be. Ariel gets a first edition Animal Farm for free
and also meets a pug. Motor pug.
And also meets a pug. Great pug. Okay, well, yes, no, I didn't finish anything. It's been sort of a crazy time. So the last few episodes, it's kind of been hilarious how they've been all over the place. I've been like, I mean, physically, I've been all over the place. Yeah. I was in Toronto, and then I was in Kingston, so traveling around Ontario. Finally, I'm back home, and in good old Nova Scotia. And I'm going to tell you, I'm sorry, I'm about to say the cheesiest, stupidest thing I actually hate myself. I'm not saying it. I'm just nodding at it, everyone. Okay. But you know how people always say, like, I need a vacation from my vacation. I feel like that.
Yeah, I know exactly
like,
what you mean.
I got home and I was just like, oh my God, that was exhausting. Like, it was fun and lots of cool stuff happened. I ate so much Asian food, which was phenomenal. Okay, the rural part of Nova Scotia I live in does not have a lot of good sushi. Okay,
yeah, I can imagine.
I don't actually even know. I think you have to drive like at least an hour and a half to get to somewhere that would have like ramen or pho or something.
Gosh, that's kind of sad for you. I'm so sorry for your loss. Why did you move to this place?
God damn it. Yeah, but you know, I ate a lot of great sushi, a lot of, oh man, I had this one meal. Okay, sorry, I gotta go into this. I'm sorry, everyone. I had this one meal that was my favorite. It was at my favorite restaurant in Toronto. And yeah. You know what, while I'm talking, I'm gonna bring it up because people need to go there. If you're in Toronto, you can go to this place. Okay. Oh God, I don't know how to pronounce it because I'm not Vietnamese and I have not ever asked anyone in the restaurant, but it's Pho Zi Lua. I'm going to spell that. And I'm also going to link it in the frickin' show notes, okay? Pho, P-H-O, space, X-E. That's interesting. Oh. Space, L-U-A. Pho Zi Lua, I believe. Best restaurant in Toronto, okay? Everyone, there's like a million, and this is the best one. So
that is hype.
I love pho. I have a real love affair with pho. I really want to go to Vietnam to have like real authentic pho, you know, like that's like a dream of mine. But when I was kind of spending a lot of time in London in the past, and I had this favorite pho restaurant there in London. And so then when I was kind of back here, I told Connor, I was like, I love pho. And he had friends that like knew a lot of restaurants in Toronto. So he's like, this girl I like, Ariel, she loves pho. What is the best pho restaurant here? I want to take her to like good pho. And one of his friends recommended this place. So he introduced it to me like 3 years ago. And, you know, blew my mind. It's a real mind blower. So anyway, I've been craving it for a long time. Since the pandemic, we haven't gone back, you know?
True.
So we went.
Gosh, you're making me hungry.
Oh, God, me too. And so we went and I ordered this pho. We had this sugar cane shrimp. Whoa. My God. We had like these amazing spring rolls, and I got extra vegetables in my pho, and Connor, I don't know, he had some noodle dish. Honestly, I don't even remember. It's so funny because I'm a very detail-oriented person. I really remember, I will always know what, like, everyone ordered. I remember those details. No idea what Connor ordered. Couldn't care less. I was just so focused on my food. We finished this meal, and, like, okay, first of all, I was so full because I'd eaten so much, and it's like these giant portions, but I didn't feel like heavy. Do you know what I mean? It was like it was such a fresh food. It filled me up, but I still felt good. Unlike a couple days previous, Connor and I had gone to like a deep fried place and we'd like shoved ourselves full of this ramen and stuff, and it was so greasy that like as we left we kind of felt like beached whales, you know? But, like leaving here we were like content and plump, but we still had a spring in our step. So not only did it fill me up and I felt good, but like genuinely it was so delicious. And then they bring us the receipt, the bill. $36.
Amazing.
$36. We gave them like a 40% tip. We were like, you people,
so you deserve so much more than
you
this.
Are gods. You deserve so much more money. I don't remember why I'm talking about this.
I think you're just trying to distract us from the fact that you
I didn't finish
a book.
That's it. I haven't been reading. Anyway, so I got back and I basically was like, I need to detox my body because I had just been eating so much and most of the meals were not as cleansing as that pho, you know? Yeah. Like it was like I had eaten so much, but we'd also walked around so much and I was just exhausted. And so two things happened. First, I spent a couple of days just sort of laying around trying to recover. Then I spent a couple of days racing around realizing I have a job that I hadn't been doing for a long time. So I was like working a lot. But then I was like, I feel like reading. I want to read. I want to read. What do I want to read? And I picked up Anne of Green Gables.
No.
Okay. And I know what you're thinking. The next book I'm supposed to read is On a Sunbeam.
It's funny. You keep bringing that up.
I would argue that the next book I finish needs to be On a Sunbeam. There's my loophole. I'm going to make it to like the second last page of Anne, put it down, quickly read On a Sunbeam, and then go back to Anne. I'm like 60% of the way through Anne of Green Gables.
Oh, amazing.
Let me go on another tangent here, really. No, you can't really stop me. I want to cry every single time that I pick up Anne of Green Gables.
Oh.
It is so beautiful. It is so immensely beautiful. And this does sound weird, and that's okay. I accept that what I'm about to say is truly weird. I feel like Anne is my daughter.
I knew you were going to say that.
Like, I just really, I see her and I want to love her. I want her to be okay. I wish I could adopt her. Like, also, I don't wish that because I'm really glad Marilla and Matthew adopted her, if you know what I mean, ladies and gentlemen. But I love the book so much, and I'm like underlining so many things, highlighting so many things. But yeah, also, it's really fun because obviously I have seen a few different adaptations of the story and read the graphic novel of the story. So I very much know the main plot points. But there's all of these, of course, because the book is always going to be have a lot more plot and stuff than the show and the movies. But there's all these little moments that I didn't know about, or these little details, or these thoughts, or these conversations. One of the things that really stands out to me that definitely comes through in the show and stuff, but it's just sort of way more explicit in the book, is how much Marilla loves Anne.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like a really interestingly, it's an interesting tense relationship sort of, but you can sort of see like Marilla laughs at Anne a lot where she'll like kind of like listen to Anne going on about something. And then it will be like, Anne then answered in this like huge paragraph, and Marilla just kind of laughs to herself, like without Anne even noticing. And I'm like, Marilla really loves her. Anyway, I'm loving it. I'm loving it so much. And it's doing something that I haven't had a book do in a really, really long time, which is I keep wanting to pick it up instead of my phone or instead of watching a video. I'm like, oh my God, I've got half an hour. I could read. Which I don't even think I've done this year.
Right?
Like, most of my other reading this year has been, like, homework. Like, it's, like, for the book club, or it's for some assignment, or it's for some video, or for whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's, like, I know I want to read this thing, but I kind of have to keep forcing myself to read it.
I know what you mean.
Part of it, though, and this is the last thing I'll say. I'm sorry, Raylene. poor Raylene. Everyone, imagine what it would be like to co-host a podcast with me. Christ.
It's like we've talked about pugs more than we've talked about books today.
Oh jeez. And pho. Don't forget
and
about
pho,
the pho.
Lots of food. I'm seriously starving. Like I am so hungry now. I want to really eat sushi or pho. I really like, that's all I want.
Yeah. I mean what I want is pho, but I can't make pho. I think I should definitely learn how to make it. It does not seem impossible, but it's the specific type of noodle that they use, the rice noodle, the kind of translucent-y one. I don't know where you would get that, but I can make ramen, and that's close enough. I'd love maybe
I need to learn how to make miso soup, because that is my favorite soup.
Yes.
Like, my favorite, like, I could just eat miso soup all day long. I love it so
I would
much.
Love for, yeah, you to know how to make miso soup, and it could be a thing where, like, every time we hang out, you make me miso soup. That sounds like a beautiful
maybe
tradition.
I'll learn. I'll learn before I see you next.
I forget what I was saying. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. No, my final tangent. Ladies and gentlemen, I finished my living room. And I sort of mentioned this before, I think.
Yeah.
No, I totally talked about how I was frantically working on it. I came home from my trip, and it was basically done, but I realized a couple of things needed to move. A couple of things had to basically I had the piano in there, and ideally, I'd love the piano to be in the living room, but this isn't the ultimate living room. Like, ultimately, this is going to be the dining room.
Right.
But right now, the room that is going to be the living room is needs so much renovation that it's like, we'll just put the living room in the dining room. But because of that, the piano really didn't fit in there, so I moved it out of there, moved the piano over, or the, sorry, the couch over, and realized I really did have room and want of a little love seat, like a couch, like a nice little couch. And so I had been looking for one online, like every day on Facebook Marketplace. And I found this literally insanely perfectly beautiful little pink couch that I'm, it looks like a clam, like a, like an Ariel the Little Mermaid. Have I sent you a photo of this?
Yeah.
I must have. Yes. Okay. Thank God. And anyway, I got that for $250, which was like the find of the century. Put it in. Raylene, I keep reading on the couch.
That's what we wanted.
Do you remember that's what I thought would happen? I was like, I think part of the reason I'm not reading in this house is because I don't have places to read. Like, it's like, either I'm in my office or I'm in bed and, like, I fall asleep. And I'm like,
I had that exact same problem. There's no nice, like, couch in this living situation I have where I can just, like, lie on the couch and read. Whereas at my old place, that's where I used to do most of my good reading was lying on the couch in the living room. Oh,
exactly. So
living
I feel like
the place to be.
This might be the beginning of a revolution, you know? Like, I think that the living room might revolutionize my reading game because I actually have a place to read that's really comfortable but isn't my bed. Because my bed is where I do typically do a lot of my reading, which is fine. But I can't read for very long there without getting really sleepy. And so I think having the couch as an option is really, I think it might be a game changer. Quite frankly. So
that's amazing.
This is a big life updates. Important information has been given to the podcast here
today. Absolutely. We heard everything we needed to hear. Well, I am currently reading something as well, though I just started it, so I don't really have much to say, but I think you'll be excited to hear that I am reading They're There by Tommy Orange.
I actually am very excited to hear about that.
Yeah, I have read like 8 pages. Like there's a little prologue. And I read that. And so far, it's really good. It is like, it flows easily. I'm not finding it difficult to read or anything yet. So, although I hear that some of the content might be difficult. So I'm a little scared about that, but excited to read it nonetheless. This was on my summer TBR that I kind of challenged myself to do. And I am really, really excited to read it. So I'll probably have finished it by the next time we chat. So I'll tell you all about it then. But I just wanted to let you know that that's what I was reading.
Yeah, that's awesome. Sorry, what page did you say you were on? I missed that. Or you didn't say?
I said I read approximately 8 pages, I think. Yeah, there's
So yeah, you really just dipped in.
Yeah, exactly. I've just read the prologue, and I'm about to dive into the first real chapter, which is, you know, gets your the first character, because this book is all about a bunch of different characters. So I'm super hyped.
The thing that I'm really excited to hear you review about that book is basically about the structure. Because
it's almost like short stories.
I've heard so many, because the idea, the premise is like a bunch of people going to an event, right?
Yeah.
And so you have all these different characters on their way there. I'm like, that is such an interesting way to build a story.
And, like, these people are connected in ways they don't even understand. Like, some of them might not actually know each other, but they are related in some way or whatever.
Right.
And it'll be interesting to see how that's, like, discovered and how that's brought to the scene.
Exactly. So I'm very interested to hear how you think they pull that off, if it works or if it doesn't. Well, that's very cool.
Yeah. Well, do you have any book news?
Book news!
Time for book news.
You know what? I actually really suffered with book news. I couldn't find anything that was particularly tantalizing. And then you sent me book news, and I was like, well, perfect. That will be
good. I already forgot what it was, so lay it on me.
The Wonder, or just Wonder, let's see, by Emma Donahue. It's The Wonder by Emma Donahue is being turned into a movie, which maybe people already knew, maybe they didn't, but it is starring Florence Pugh. So this is so funny. It was funny that you messaged me this just because I I don't know, maybe I was on Instagram, I don't remember, but I saw Florence Pugh post about it.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, cool, she's going to be in a cool movie. Like, it just looked pretty, and I like a period piece. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this will be really interesting. And then you texted it to me, and you were like, this is book news. And I was like, wait, why is it book news? And I didn't realize that The Wonder was based on the Emma Donoghue book. So
that's
maybe
perfect.
There are other people like me that saw that this was happening, because, you know, probably a lot of people see her on Instagram and stuff, but maybe they didn't know that it was based on this book. So we know some things about it. We know that it's a Netflix show. A movie, but it's Netflix. It's Netflix, so that's interesting. And it's streaming on 2022. So we won't get it this year, but we will get it next year. We know that it is shooting in Ireland.
Amazing. So
that's very cool.
That's great.
And we know will be beautiful, therefore. Mm-hmm. It says this, I'm on a website called Tattler. It says the synopsis is that the story is about a young girl who stops eating but remains miraculously alive and well. And then an English nurse is brought to a tiny village to observe the 11-year-old girl. Tourists and pilgrims mass to witness the girl, who is said to have survived without food for months. Whoa.
Spooky.
That's
very interesting. It was when I sent you that like book news announcement as well, it got me thinking, like, why haven't I read more Emma Donoghue books? Because I really love Room. However, I think part of it is because all of her books seem so different from Room.
Yes, I completely agree.
I think that's what's stopping me. But I would love to hear if any listeners out there love her other books and also love Room. Mm. Like, pitch me. Like, tell me which one I should start with, because I really like Room is in my top 10 favorite books of all time. I love it that much. And so I'm like, maybe I should read more of her books, but I'm kind of scared that I won't like them. But I still think it's worth a try.
I agree, because I really did like that. That was a really strange one for me, Room. I really liked it. It made me cry. So it definitely like hit me.
Yeah.
It was emotional. But I would never reread it. It didn't feel like my kind of book. I don't know what the hell that means. I didn't really, I don't know, it wasn't my cup of tea, really.
Whereas somehow it was just perfect for me. I think I've read it 3 times now, and I just love it.
So, yeah, so, I mean, that is exciting. I'm not saying anything new here, but I really like Florence Pugh.
Me too. I know. I was thinking about that too. I'm like, you really love Anya Taylor-Joy, and I do as well, but I think I love Florence Pugh even more. Yeah. I really like her.
She's very cool. She has a very cool accent, and she just seems like really friendly, doesn't she?
Mm-hmm.
I just went onto the trivia for The Wonder on IMDb to see if we had something interesting here. It just says, this is the dumbest fact. It's the second Emma Donoghue novel adaptation starring an MCU actress.
Because incredibly dumb.
Room starred Brie Larson.
Right.
And it's like,
but it's like, that was before she was in the MCU. So like,
yeah,
technically, but also like, who cares? That's so funny. So was that your only book news for this week?
That's it. Yeah, sorry. No, I don't have anything else. I couldn't find. I was looking. I was searching. And I was really grasping at straws, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, no.
Well, that is totally fair. Well, I'm going to jump straight into book olds. I'm really excited about the book that I'm going to talk about today, because I think it was last week or maybe the week before on our Books on Bucket, we had a really fun episode where we talked about books from different countries that we wanted to read. I specifically said I would love to read more books that are set in Australia and written by Australian authors. And so we got a comment that recommended me a book that just sounds so good.
Cool.
So Shania over on our Patreon, one of our dust jackets, recommended to me Jasper Jones by Craig Sylvie. It's set in rural Australia, is like a murder mystery, but has some dark tones. One of the main protagonists is Aboriginal, and so the discrimination plays a big part of the story. So that's what Shania said. But let me just read you the synopsis off of Goodreads for this book. But yeah, it came out in 2009. So I would consider this to be a book old. It's not only 3 years old like last time.
If that's a book old, then we're book ancients.
We are book ancients. You know, it's just the truth. We're 94. That's pretty old. Okay, here we go. Jasper Jones by Craig Sylvie. Late on a hot summer night in 1965, Charlie Buckton, a precocious and bookish boy of 13, is startled by an urgent knock on the window of his sleepout. His visitor is Jasper Jones, an outcast in the regional mining town of Corrigan. Rebellious, mixed race, and solitary, Jasper is a distant figure of danger and intrigue for Charlie. So when Jasper begs for his help, Charlie eagerly steals into the night by his side, terribly afraid but desperate to impress. Jasper takes him to a secret glade in the bush, and it's here that Charlie bears witness to Jasper's horrible discovery. And there's like a lot more in the synopsis, but I think that kind of sums it up. And
yeah,
this author, I had never heard of him until Shania like shouted him out. He has a couple of books and they have such amazing reviews. Oh. Like, he has a newer book that just came out in 2020 called Honeybee, and it has a 4.42 average rating on Goodreads.
Wow.
Like, that's like Lord of the Rings level ratings. obviously it has less ratings, but you know what I mean? Like, that's a very high average rating, and I'm just like, I'm very intrigued. How have I never heard of this guy? And he has a bunch of other books as well. And Jasper Jones has actually been made into a movie. I'm not sure when it came out, but it's this whole thing that I'd never heard of. Came out in 2017. So I thought that sounded really cool. I was really happy to get an Australian recommendation, because somehow this is a book I feel like I would have never stumbled upon if we hadn't like had that conversation.
Yeah,
so
totally. That's cool.
I thought that was really cool. And actually, I have requested this book from the library, and I'm just waiting for it to come because I'm like really hyped to read it. It sounds like a cool coming of age story that is just right up my alley. So
brilliant. Well, there you go. The people really helped us out. You helped me out, and the dust jackets helped you out.
Yeah, so that was super fun. So thank you guys so much, as always, for listening. Our episode 100 is coming out soon. We're getting close. I'm getting close. Very exciting stuff. I'm super hyped for that. We are about to go record our bonus mini podcast, Books Unbucket. And today...
I still can't believe we called it that.
I swear, when you first told it to me, I was like, was that a typo? Was it supposed to be something else? And you were like, no, this is what I want. And I was like, you know what? Okay, whatever. I can't think of a better idea, so why would I turn that down? But yes, Books Unbucket this week is one that comes from our Discord, and this one is from Kira. As always, Kira gives us great suggestions, wonderful questions. And she says, okay, I know you guys are super into translated fiction, and so my question is, what books would you most like to read in their native language?
Whoa.
You can answer this two ways: a language you already do know and you know you want to try and read a book in that language, or a book where you know you'll never learn the native language, but you dream of a world where you could. And I think that's a super fun, cool question. So thank you, Kira.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, I know. I haven't really thought about it at all. So hopefully we'll brainstorm as we always do and come up with something cool. So thank you, Kira. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we will talk to you next week with Noelle. Bye.
Bye.